We're going to read as our text an unusual verse that we might tie to the family, but I think we can make a tie here, and it's going to be something that I think I'm feeling led to go this direction and just see if the Lord will use it in our hearts, all right? Let's look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. 1 John 4 and verse 19. Let's say the reference, and then we'll read the verse together out loud. Ready? 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask for you to give leadership and that you will use this message in such a way that it'll help each one of us spiritually, individually, but also as a family. And we pray, Lord, that you direct it, that the homes truly would be strengthened. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. We love him because he first loved us. And what that shows is that love produces love. We love him because he first loved us. And it reminds me of another verse of scripture that you are familiar with in Proverbs. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. In other words, if you want to have a friend, you've got to be a friend. And as we think about love, we think about Christ. And as we think about Christ, we think about love. And there's no greater love than Christ's love. Now, as we're looking at the family, we are commanded to love. Husbands are commanded to love their wives. Children are commanded to honor their parents, which is tied to love for their parents. And wives are commanded to love their husbands. And I think sometimes one of the things that's lacking is love, to be honest. We think of love as being something that we just say, I love you. But there needs to be something that we do to show that we love. And sometimes it's the attitude, it's the heart, it's the connection. As the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, not just with what you do, but he said with all your what? With all your heart. So there's emotion, there's supposed to be some heart connected to a thing. And God gave us with a mind, he gave us a mind, but he also gave us a heart. And there needs to be heart in our love. Now we're commanded to love. And what I want to show as we're looking about love tonight and love in the home, the greatest commands in the Bible are to love. Now, when we ask about the greatest commands, and we might ask somebody, what's the greatest command you could think of? Most people would think of thou shalt not kill, right? Or they might think, be ye holy, for I the Lord am holy. But let me remind you that God said the greatest commands are to love. In Matthew 22, 36 through 38, a man came to Christ and said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? What's the most important command in the law? And Jesus answered, number one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So can you see what I'm saying here? Now don't let this thing be just, I talk up here. I want to make sure that we're connecting with this thing. Can you see how Jesus himself said that the greatest command was to love? Do you see that? The greatest command was to love. It wasn't be holy necessarily. It was to love. And then the second greatest command, Jesus said, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt what? Love. And don't forget that word. Thou shalt what? Love. And the second command is tied to loving your neighbor. But the first command, the greatest command, is to love. And the second greatest command is to love. Now, I'm a preacher, okay? And so as a preacher, the passion of my life is to preach. And I think that's the most important thing in all the world. I've heard people say statements like, if God calls you to preach, I wouldn't stoop to be a king. And I wouldn't either. Because I really believe that preaching is the most powerful thing in the world to influence lives. But yet, it doesn't say the greatest command is to preach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, a great command. But the greatest command is to love. And the second greatest command is to love. Now, Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Now, when I look at that, I think of a great servant of God, somebody who's willing to die, take up a cross. And that song that really touches my heart that my deceased brother used to sing, I like to play it because I've got him singing that song. And it just touches my heart because it was from my good Christian brother, my good physical but also good Christian brother. He died at 51 a year and a half ago. I get touched by his music. His song that he loved is, Lord Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, would be no more than love demands, no less than I could pay. And he talks about loving God to the point that he'd lay down his life in a foreign field. But the greatest command is not even to die for Christ and to love Christ to the death, but the greatest command is to love Christ. And the second greatest command is to love others. Now, as we're looking at this, I'm telling us something. I'm trying to draw us to something. We are commanded to love. And the greatest commands in all the Bible, in any relationship, in any situation, is to genuinely love. Let's look at this in 1 Corinthians. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the greatest command, again, emphasized. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, it's talking in the beginning of this chapter we call the love chapter. It's talking about all the sacrifices and all the abilities that people have as they serve God. And we think about our Christianity, and we say, well, how dedicated is that person to Jesus? We'll say, oh, that person's dedicated. He's up at 5 in the morning, and he's witnessing, and he's studying, and he's praying, and he's doing, and he's busy. That person's dedicated. What do you mean? They serve the Lord, and they only make $20,000 a year. And they get up, and they do it, and they do it, and they sacrifice. And though that is great sacrifice, the greatest commands are tied to love, not even sacrifice. Now look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now I like to hear good preachers, don't you? Sorry you got stuck with me this week. Now I like to hear good, eloquent, good, practical, good, enjoyable preaching. I like to learn. And I like to hear men that speak with tongues of angels. I think about some of the great preachers I heard when I was a student at Bob's University. And they were some great orators. And there was a great preacher that I always loved to hear. His name was Dr. Bob Jr. And there was never a man that could just paint pictures like Dr. Bob Jr. Now, he was also a man of deep love, and I'm not belittling his love. But the Bible here is saying, if I can speak with even tongues of angels and I have not love, I'm like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And you know what that means? All I'm doing is making a bunch of noise, but I'm totally ineffective. Now, look at the next one. It says in verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy, I can preach and understand all mysteries and knowledge. I'm deep in the faith, and I can preach deep truths. And though I have all faith so that I can remove a mountain and have not charity, I'm nothing. Now, I think about people that are great men of the past, and they prayed, and great things happened. George Mueller prayed, and $7 million for his orphanages. George Mueller had 50,000 data definite answers to prayer. But here's what he's saying. If I have faith that I can even move a mountain, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. And you know what that means? I'm not significant. God's not impressed. And so what he's saying is the greatest commands are to love. The greatest commands are not to be an eloquent preacher, not to be a deep preacher, not to have so much faith that you could move a mountain when you pray. But the greatest, most significant things are to love. And as we look at this, we're tying to the family, and I think you're going to see where we're going with this. Where we're going with this is the greatest thing is not just to pay the bills, take care of the needs. It's not just to obey. It's not just to exist in the same home. It's not just to be faithful to each other until you die, and you can say we did it. We were faithful to the end. The greatest command, even in the home, is probably to what? To love. And so we have so many people that exist together, but they don't love. And I want you to see something here. In verse 3 even, sacrifice in itself is not the end. It's love in that sacrifice. Verse 3 of chapter 13. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I bestow my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. And you know what that means? I can be somebody who sacrifices and gives the ultimate sacrifice, even lay down my life on behalf of another person because I'm supposed to, or I should, or I see the merit in doing it. But if I do not have love behind it, God says I'm not going to get rewarded. And so with all this, I am just simply trying to nail down to something that the greatest commandments are to love. And so if we take a look at this, we got to look at our homes and see if we're following that greatest commandment. Of course, love the Lord thy God, but love thy neighbor as thyself. It's not just the command to love God and love your neighbor that's in the Bible. The greatest commands in the Bible are to love. Ministers are to love their congregations. 1 Thessalonians 2:7, cherish them as a nurse cherisheth her children. Not just lead them, but love them. But then to the family, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for them. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, you know what I think that gives a little insight to? A wife doesn't do exactly what we think we should get or deserve or doesn't do everything that we expect that she should do, and we have a tendency to get bitter. And it's the men that have a tendency to get bitter, I think, even more than the women have a tendency to get bitter. We just hide it more. But the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter against them. Now, I remember somebody saying one time, well, nowhere in the Bible does it command a woman to love her husband. It commands a woman to reverence her husband, to obey her husband, but never to love her husband. It says, reverence your husband. And if a man will love his wife properly, then she is a reflective person and she will love that man back in return. Where that is true, love produces love. The Bible does say that women are commanded to also love their husbands. It says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4 that the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands. So it's a command, and we're commanded to love. Now I want to ask us tonight, do we love in our homes? Now, we know that there are people that don't really love in their homes. I remember hearing a story about these two men that were out in a war. I don't know if it was Vietnam or if it was somewhere else. But when they were in that war, there were bullets flying over their heads. And as the bullets were flying over their heads, one of the men said to the other soldiers, this is terrible. And then the man said something back like, you think this is bad? You ought to be at home where I have to live with my family. This is like a Garden of Eden compared to living at home with my family. And too often, living at home really is more of a battle zone than it is a place of love. And we are commanded to love. Now, in this, I just want us to look at the subject of love and kind of even consider love in all aspects. We are to love our children as well. It says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, love your children, women. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's loving your children, not provoking them to anger as you teach them. And children are to love their parents. Children, obey your parents, Ephesians 6:1, but honor thy father and thy mother, Ephesians 6:2, and that's tied really till you honor them by the way that you love them. And so the Bible talks a lot about love, and the best illustration of love is husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I'm going to look at some things tonight. I don't really know everything where it's going to go, but I do know where it's going to end up. We're going to end up with the understanding that the greatest commandments are to love. And so we take that home. The greatest command is to what in our home? Genuinely love. Not coexist, but make sure that we love that wife. We love that husband. Not coexist, but make sure we love that son, not just keep him under our thumb. Make sure that we love in our homes, and that's where we're going to end up. Now, as we look at this thing about love, it says, we love him because he first loved us. We know the love that God has shown toward us. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And so our love for each other is kind of tied to seeing how God loves us and how we should love God. We can see how we love each other. Now, as we look at this, we'll look at it from the perspective of loving God, but then tie it in ways to loving each other in the family. Now, what does the Bible say about our love for God that we can also tie to our love for each other? All right, first there are some tests, okay? Now, the Lord says, the Lord your God prove with you to see whether you love the Lord your God. There's a test, Deuteronomy 13:3. Now, one of the tests that God gives is our social life. 1 John 4:20, if any man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a what? Liar. Now, somebody could say, God, I love you, but then we hate the people that are Christian brothers. Now, we look sometimes at division in a church, and we look at that church and we say, man, they're sure not acting very spiritual. We look in a church and we see people that are in the same church and are supposed to be in the family of God, and they can't even get along with each other. Now, how many of you would agree there's something wrong with that? Amen? Now, we have people that are driving to communities, and as they're driving to communities, they're looking around to see the sincerity of Christians. And what's the first thing they think of? Are they genuinely loving people? And often, you'll hear people say, when they'll step in a church and they'll step out of a church, they'll say, oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites. And they'll follow it by saying, they don't what? Love each other. And by the way, that's one thing that we are giving the enemies of God a great cause to blaspheme with. We are not loving each other. We are not genuinely interested in each other's lives like we need to be. And love is very attractive. And when we're interested in each other as a church and we're full of love, people are attracted to love. Now, the people out there in the community will drive by a church and they'll go in, they'll never see anybody genuinely love each other. They'll see people put on the front, but not sincerely love each other. And their conclusion is, oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They don't love each other. But get this. It's not just the unsaved world that judges the sincerity of our Christianity by if we love each other. God judges the sincerity of our Christianity by if we love each other. He says, if any man say I love God, hate his brother, he is a what? And that's what God is saying. Now, if God commanded us, by this shall men know that you are my disciples if you have loved one to each other. He's gauging if we love each other in the church, and then he's determining if we really love him. But remember, the commandments of God to love don't stop with love each other at the church. The commandment from God is husbands, love your wives, right? Right? Don't just coexist. Don't just sit there and stare at your food. Say something. Be tender. Care. And the same one that gave the command, husbands, love your wives, also said, wives, love your children. Don't look at them as a nuisance. Love your children. And it says love your wife, love your husband. Teach them to love their husbands. Now, we sometimes will go to church, and as we go to church, we all get in that car, and when we get to church, by the time we're in church, we sure are acting very nice. And even when we're in church, we're sitting close to each other because it looks better if we're sitting close to each other. But the reality is, we don't really like each other. And we put on when we're in church sometimes because we want to look good. And the reality is, we're not being nice to each other. We're putting on and pretending to be nice to each other. Now, have you ever heard somebody say that if you really want to know what a person is like, see what they're like in the home? Have you ever heard that? Have you? Well, it's not just the unsaved world that is gauging the sincerity of a Christianity by how we love each other in homes. I believe it's God. He is looking to see the way that we're truly loving our wives, or if we're not, loving our children, or if we're not. And the greatest commands are to love. Now, one test that God gives as far as our love is, do we love each other? Now, another test of God's love, or do we love God, is also a test for love in any relationship. The first great commandment is to love the Lord our God, but we're given all these great commands to love. Another great command, turn in your Bibles to John 21. John 21. All right, in John 21, another test of love is service. Service. And on John 21, Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. And he just said the words, yeah, I love you. All right, but notice what John 21, 15 through 17 shows us about true love. True love is you serve the person you love. So when he had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, feed my lambs. He saith unto them again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith again the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, do you get it? Peter, do you love me? Yes, of course I do. Prove it. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me the second time? Yes. Prove it. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me the third time? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. I told you I loved you twice already. And he says, then feed my sheep. And what he's saying is, if you love me, serve me. Now, I think about my wife, and I know that she says I love you. And I think I'm more of a woman sometimes than a woman, in that I have a heart that I want to feel that heart love. And so my wife would sometimes, years ago, she wouldn't say I love you as much. Now she does, which I really appreciate. But I would say, do you love me? Do you really love me? And she would say things like, Mike, I cook for you. I clean for you. You don't have dirty clothes. I iron your shirts. And then I put them in the closet so they're nice and clean when you need them. And then she said, and I don't just make the same food. I change the food. And I dress it up and I make it good and interesting. And I do this and I do that. Of course I love you, or I wouldn't serve you so much. Well, I used to think, well, I want to have a little bit more heart and heart feeling. But the older I get, the more I understand, yes, we need that heart. God says love him with all your heart, but also I've learned that true love is you serve the person that you love. Now, what do you do? Just a good question. What do you do to show God that you love him? You say, nothing. I'm a teenager. We don't serve God yet. I don't hide behind the cloak of being a teenager. If you love God, you're going to be serving him in some way. What do you do to show God you love him? Nothing. I go to church. I'm here all the time. But I just really don't have time to really get involved in the things of service in the church. After all, I work 80 hours a week. I got this at home and this responsibility. Quit hiding behind the cloak of being too busy. If you love, you're going to serve. Now, the same is true with the house. If you love your wife, you're going to serve your wife. If you love your brother, how about an amen? You're going to serve your brother. If you love your sister, you're going to love your sister. You're going to serve your sister. If you love your children, you're going to be doing things to take care of them and meet their needs. And love is demonstrated by serving the one that you love. Now, if we're constantly at home thinking, well, I hope my wife did this for me. I hope my wife did that for me. I hope my kids got that job done for me. I hope that they did this and do this. And if we're constantly thinking about what we can get, we love ourselves. And when we're thinking about what we can give, we love the person we're giving to. Love is serving. Now, Jesus said, if you love me, love the brethren. And one of the ways you can tell the sincerity of your Christianity is if you really have love. And I think if somebody's a sincerely spiritual person, they're going to love their family at home. They're not going to pretend to love their wife. They're going to love her. The greatest commands are to love. Now, does your wife feel loved? Do your kids feel loved? Does your husband feel loved? The greatest commands are to love. You know what? The fact is, there are a lot of young people that get very bitter about churches that have good holiness, good standards, and good convictions, good commitments. And why are they so bitter? Because they grow up in a home where everybody's do this, do that, and should be doing those things, but they don't sense there's genuine love from dad to mom. They don't sense there's genuine love from mom to dad. And they sometimes don't even sense there's genuine love from the parent to them. They think all you are somebody who is embarrassing me if you don't get in line. And when there is not love, we can speak right, but we're ineffective. We're tinkling cymbals. We're sounding brass, but we've got to have love to be effective. Now, with all this, one test is that we love each other. Another test is we serve if we love. And a third test is we don't do things to hurt each other. Now, I'll put it this way with God. It's if we love him, we keep his commandments. Now, let's look in our Bibles at Psalm 9:17. It says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. All right, let's look at that verse of scripture and see if I found the right one. Was that it? Anybody find it? Psalm 9:17? Is that the right one? All right. Psalm 97:10. Let's look at that one. Psalm 97:10. Now, Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Now, there's a principle in that verse. Love increases hate. I'll say it again. Love increases hate. Now, a simple illustration of that is when I was first interested in marrying my wife, Becky, at that time, she was dating another guy. I didn't know the other guy, but I hated him. Love increases hate. The more that I loved her, the less I love the guy who was my competition. I remember going up to her one time and I said, why are you dating that guy? He's a reprobate. And I found out later he was a missionary. Now, it wouldn't matter who he was, my love for her increased my hatred for the guy who kept her away from me. Once I was engaged to her, I was traveling with her dad, who's a preacher, and I can remember looking out the window where I was staying. She would sleep with her mom and dad. I'd sleep in the prophet's chamber. Isn't that what you're supposed to do before you get married? And I looked out the window and I saw a carload of teens pull up in a Trans Am automobile next to the trailer where my future wife was sleeping. They looked like a rowdy bunch. Now, I didn't know what they were going to do, but I did know if they were going to try to do bodily harm to my future wife, I would hopefully do bodily harm to them first. So I put on my blue jeans, went in the kitchen, grabbed the biggest butcher knife I could find in the kitchen. And I put it in my back pocket, and I went out and stood in front of that Trans Am and held the knife out, and they drove away. They probably thought it was some madman walking around at midnight with a knife in his hand. But the point was, love increases hate. The more I loved her, the less I loved the guys who would harm her. Now, the more I love my wife, the less I would love a criminal who would harm her. The more I love my children, the less I would love a drug pusher who would try to ruin their lives. The more I love God, the more I'm going to love anything that would hurt Him. And what hurts God more than anything is when we sin. So my sin hurts God. Have you ever heard that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? And that's why He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because it hurts me when you don't keep my commandments. Now, I can remember when I was in Manhattan, done preaching, I walked outside and I went to my car, and this man jumped up from behind a bush. And as he jumped up behind the bush, I'm thinking I'm going to get mugged. So the first thing I did was I grabbed my wallet, and then I look at him and I think I could be okay if I get in a fight with him. I could probably do okay. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and witness to him. So I go up to him and I start witnessing, and this guy goes, oh, you're a Christian, huh? Huh, I am a Christian too. And his breath was reeking with alcohol. Now then he says, looky here. And he pulls out his wallet, and over here he says, looky here. And he had a picture of Jesus. Then he said, looky here. And he had a cross that he carried on the other side of his wallet. And then he asked, would you sing How Great Thou Art? So we sang How Great Thou Art. And then he got my car, and I wanted to take him somewhere so I could talk to him a little bit longer. As we're doing it, we're singing all these hymns. But his breath is reeking with alcohol, and he's got a cigarette in the other hand, and he's just a drunk on the street. Now, how many of you are convinced that he really, really was in love with God? Now, many of us will do the same kind of thing with God. We'll say, I love God, and we'll sing How Great Thou Art, and we'll sing all about our love for God. But over here we're saying, I love God. Don't be offended and don't feel uncomfortable. But there are people that'll say over here, I love God, but then listen, over here they'll say, I love surfing the internet and looking at things that are junk. Now over here they're saying, I love God. Over here they're looking at filthy internet sites. Now, some will say, I love God over here. But then over here, they'll say, I love drinking a can of beer. Or they'll say over here, I love using a cuss word under my breath. Or I love doing something I shouldn't do. All right, now listen. It's not that somebody over here doesn't love God at all. Here's the real issue. They don't love God enough that they want to get rid of the things that are hurting God. And when we really love God, then we're really going to try to not do things that would hurt Him. And anything and everything is affected by the depth of our love. Now, the same is true with if I love my wife, I'm going to try to not do things that would hurt her. Now, it might sound as silly as can be, but my wife, and I know these things sound so silly, and when somebody comes and they talk about family love, we say, oh, that's so silly. My wife is hurt in a way, or thinks she's unloved, or I'm not thinking about her if I leave my laundry on the ground. People say, oh, that's silly. No, that's a way for me to genuinely tell God, my wife, I'm thinking about her. Silly as it might be, I'm telling her I'm thinking about her. And even if she doesn't remember that I put it in the dirty clothes, she'll remember when I don't. Now, I know there's one side of it, love thinketh no evil. But on the other side of it, if you love somebody, you try to not do things that will hurt them. Or you try to not do things that would grieve them. And love affects what you do. And as your walk talks more than your talk talks, It's very important that we love not in word, but in deed. Now, there are tests that God gives to see if we love him, and we don't pass that test sometimes. And there are tests that we can do to demonstrate our love toward our spouse. And it's very important that we serve them and that we are conscious and conscientious to do things that would not hurt them, but not do things that would hurt them, but make sure that what we do is not going to hurt them, but is going to please them. If you love me, Jesus said, then keep my commandments. Now, we've seen the tests of love, but then sometimes it's good to remind ourselves of why to love. Now, in this passage, I'm just kind of making some applications. I think we've got a lot of reasons why we should love, okay? And not only are we commanded to love, but we've got reasons to love. Now, 1 John 4:19, back to our text. We love him, why? Because he first what? Now, we've got this verse in the Bible. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Does that sound like a command? All right, Deuteronomy 6:5. Deuteronomy 10:12. What doth the Lord thy God require thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Does that sound like a command? It's a command. But then we've got this one. We love him because he first loved us. That sounds more like a reason to me than a command. Does that sound like more of a reason to you than a command, right? Now, both of them are in the Bible. Husbands, love your wives. But I think there are a lot of reasons we can love our wives. And sometimes we forget those things. And it's good sometimes to think about those things. Now, when I tie love for Christ and love for family and Christian love together, I find it kind of goes together. Like we say we love somebody. Well, why do we love them? We love them because they're beautiful if you don't look at their nose. Or we love them because they're tall, dark, and handsome. I've heard fourth grade girls say, I love that boy. Why? He's tall, he's dark, he's handsome. Have you ever seen a tall, dark, handsome fourth grader? Not unless he's been in fourth grade for about 4 years. He's not that tall. Now, there are reasons that we actually love somebody. You say, well, I just enjoy being with that person. That person is just fun to be with. That person is kind. I remember 1986 when I first saw my wife through the eyes of love. I mean, I saw her in a revival meeting. I thought right away, she's beautiful. And I thought, wow, who is that? But I didn't love her. I had to get to know her. And when I got to know her, I began to love her. I liked her, but I had to get to know her. I found out that she was genuine. She went, we talked about one person who was on their way to hell, and she got tears in her eyes about this person was going to hell. I thought, this girl's genuine. I like that. I like the way she went up, and she put her arms around her daddy, and she said, Daddy, I love you. Even though she was a college student, I thought, shows affection. I like that. And then I thought I loved her, but then I married her. And you know what I found out as I married her? I learned more reasons to love her, and I could grow in my love, and the more that I knew about her, I could love her. I found out she'd be faithful to me. On more than one occasion, a guy said to her, why don't you dump that guy you're married to and come out with me? This was at a restaurant where she used to work, and she put him in his place. She'll be faithful to me. That makes me love her. She's faithful to me. Why do I love her? She makes sacrifices for me. Usually when I'm in a meeting, I give her a little bit of allowance. I was giving her $20 a week, and then I kicked it up to $30 a week. And now I give her just a little bit more on a monthly basis, so she has some of her own money, so she doesn't have to come to me and ask me for everything. And you know what she usually would do? She'd turn around and she'd spend it on me. One time I got an offering. It was a larger one, so I gave her a larger offering. And you know what she did? She bought me a sport coat. I'm thinking about giving her $100 this week and seeing what she'll do. But she makes sacrifices for me, and that makes me love her. Now, she'll listen to me. She'll laugh at my jokes when others think they're kind of dumb. She forgives me when I let her down. Now, I had many times when I've done wrong and my wife has forgiven me. Now, these are things that make us love. Now, when I look at my love for the Lord, I love my wife because she listens to me. Why do we love God? Well, he died on the cross, but there's so much more for us to love God over. He listens to us. The psalmist says, I love him because you heard my voice in my supplication. Why do I love my wife? She supports me. Why do I love God? He supports me. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why do I love my wife? I love her because she's faithful to me. Why do I love Jesus? Because he's faithful to me. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, distress, nakedness, peril, sword, nothing. Not even our sin makes him stop loving us. And then, I love my wife because she forgives me when I let her down. Why do we love God? He forgives us when we let him down. How many of you have ever said, God, I'm sorry for what I did. Please forgive me. I'll never do it again. And then you did it again. Anybody like that? Did he forgive you again? And then you said, Lord, again, I'm sorry, please, I won't do it again, ever again. I know I've done this 10 times, but please forgive me, and I will not do it again. And then you do it again. Does he forgive you again? Now, I had 3 times in a row that when I was engaged, I forgot a date with my wife. Now, don't you go pointing your finger at me, you lousy man, you're just as bad. So anyway, I was supposed to go on a date, and I got so involved with working with teenagers that I got sidetracked counseling teenagers, and I actually forgot a date with my fiance 3 weeks in a row. Now, most women would have looked at me and said, what a jerk, and dumped me. Instead, she looked and said, what a jerk, and forgave me. Now, when I think about these things, I think that these are reasons that I love God. I think these are reasons that I love my wife. But these are ways that we love. We like it when it's our direction, but we remember it has to go that direction too. All right, why do I love my wife? She listens to me. Why do I love God? He listens to me. So do you think we should listen to our ones that we are to love? Does that make sense? Does it? Why do I love my wife? Because she supports me. Why do I love my God? He supports me. And love goes both ways. That means I should support the ones that I love. I should be there. How can I help you with this? How can I help you along with this? And it's just thinking. It's just thinking. And we can love better. I love my wife because she'll forgive me when I let her down. I love God so much because he forgives me when I let him down. Well, what does that mean I should do with somebody that I love? I should forgive them when they let me down. And I should be faithful to forgive them when they let me down. And so we get this, we like to get loved, but we forget we are commanded to love back. Now, as far as God goes, he's never going to let us down. But the Bible says, as I mentioned on Sunday, it's impossible but that offenses will come. We are in a relationship. We're going to get offended. We're going to get let down. But that's part of the beauty of love. Who's going to love more, the one who's forgiven of a little or the one forgiven of a lot? Of a lot. And when you think about, I love my God because of all these great things, you think about how to love. You love people like he loved you. You love your wife like he loved you. As the Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And love is pretty clear when you just look at God. We can pretty much see how we should love somebody else back. Now, with this as well, it's a command to love. It's a command to love. Now, with this as well, what I was getting at is there are reasons to love. All right, we love Christ because he first loved us. Now, when I was a boy, there was a girl that I liked. Her name was Brenda. And we were going steady. But we never talked to each other. I was too shy to talk to her. We never played together at recess. We never spent any time together. Our whole relationship was I would tell the boys I like Brenda. She would tell the girls I like Mike. But we never, ever spent any time together. And you know what? The fact is, it's almost like that even in our marriages sometimes that we never spend time with each other. We never talk to each other. And that's part of love, is talking and communicating, spending time with each other. Now, when we look at love, there are lots of reasons why we love. And what I'm reminding us of is the greatest commands are to love. The first and great command, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Husbands, love your wives. That's your greatest command at home. Wives, love your husbands. Children, honor thy father and mother. And put on your safety belt. Brothers and sisters ought to love brothers and sisters. Where do you get that? Let brotherly love continue, giving honor one to another. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. A Christian should treat a Christian like a brother ought to treat a brother, and that's at home in love. And even siblings are supposed to have love in the home. But here's the thing. We're commanded to love. There are lots of reasons to love. And I'm going to show you this final thing, and we'll quit for tonight. But there's a decision to love. There's a decision to love, okay? Now, I told you lots of reasons why I love my wife, but there's one that I haven't told you. I haven't found anybody I like any better yet. Now, if you think about it, if we took all the women in the world and put them in front of me, one at a time, do you think I might be able to find somebody that I thought was a little attractive? Probably not as pretty as my wife, but maybe I could find somebody attractive. You say, well, could you find somebody that you might enjoy getting to know and could enjoy getting to know? I'm thinking if all the women in the world were put in front of me, I might be able to find somebody I could actually enjoy their personality and I could enjoy getting to know them. You say, oh, poor Becky, Mike thinks he might be able to find somebody that he could enjoy getting to know and he might think he could find to be somewhat attractive. You say, poor Becky. Listen, don't worry about Becky. Do you know why? Mike is not looking. I made a decision till death do us part. Now, I guarantee you, my wife could find somebody better looking and somebody with more hair. My wife could find somebody with a better personality, somebody who's in better shape, with a little bit more muscle, a little bit less not muscle. And you say, oh, Mike, are you worried as you get older and you don't look as good as you used to look? I mean, I looked awesome before, but you don't look as good as you used to look. Are you worried? No. Why? Because Becky's not looking either. And Becky made a decision till death do us part. And love is a decision. What that shows is love is a decision. And listen, as the Word of God teaches, loving God is a decision. It says, take diligent heed to love the Lord thy God. It's a decision. Somebody says, well, I don't feel as much love to God as I used to have. Well, it's a decision. It's a love decision. Psalmist said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. It's a decision. We make the decision that we are not going to just coexist. Listen, that we're not just going to stay in the same house, but we're going to follow the commands that were given to us, the greatest commands that you could ever receive that were given to us. Because Jesus himself said the greatest command is thou shalt love. And so we're going to go home and we're going to make decisions that we're going to love, not just in word, but in deed and with the heart. Love is addressed as word, but it's also addressed with deed, but it's also addressed with heart. Thou shalt love with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And so we want to make sure that the whole person is loved. Mind, emotions, both are loved. And everything related to love is being demonstrated in the home, including spending time with each other and talking to each other. The greatest commands are to love. If I don't love, though I give my body to be burned, it profiteth me nothing. If I don't love, and I sacrifice, and I have faith, I can move mountains. I'm the pillar of the church. But I don't love at home. I'm nothing in God's eyes. I'm not impressed with you. You don't even love your wife. If I preach with tongues of angels and have not love, I'm sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. I don't even have love. I'm not going to be effective at anything I'm doing. And so if we want to make our families effective, if we want to be effective parents, if we want to be effective at what we do, we need to have love there. Okay? There needs to be love.